Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tab, also on them.
Service plan required for watch or tab. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and we're back for part two of our discussion on the defense from that win over the Falcons on Saturday afternoon. I have to keep reminding myself of that. It was a kind of a weird football game, but we're going to talk about a lot of the defensive stars, give our MVPs, talk about some individual players. Here to do that with me is Kevin Ostreicher of Locked On Ravens. Kevin, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Ken. I know that preseason is always a fun time to evaluate some of these younger players, evaluate positional battles, guys that are fighting for roster spots, and I think we certainly have a lot of takeaways on the defensive side of the ball from this one.
All right, well, great. The way we like to do this on just a alternating player basis, so we're going to start with the interior defensive line. We don't have to talk about every player, but who would you like to talk about from that group?
I'm going to start with Brent Urban. I think that he made a couple of really solid plays in this game. Obviously, he's going to factor into Baltimore's defensive rotation this season in some way, shape, or form. He's provided value for them since coming back after a brief time away from the organization with a couple of different teams there. But I think as a player that can provide value as the run defender, getting off of blocks, doing some quality things, I think you wanted to see him make a few plays in this game. And I think he did that. So I think out of all the players, we didn't necessarily see a ton of some other guys in this one. But for Urban, he played a decent amount. So I think that for me, he's a player that impressed me with some of what he did.
Always happy with Brent. He is a great person, I'm sure, to have on the team. He's a longtime friend, apparently, of Michael Pierce's. They just hang out all the time. Kind of tell who the little cliques are on the team, but there's a lot of people who just are naturally drawn to each other. And Urban has a great attitude with regard to still playing in the NFL. He was on at the podium the other day, talked about what a privilege it is to play in the league. And, you know, he's got a survivor role. He's also never really cashed in on some great performance because he got hurt at the wrong time when he was up for a contract, and he's never cashed in the way a lot of other players got. So he's probably made, and I'm really talking from the hip here, but he might have made about $15 million playing the game over an 11-year career, maybe slightly more, as opposed to other players who made more. Now, $15 million, I mean, a lot of people working real hard and not making any kind of like money like that. But Urban, relative to his peers, has not become the same kind of a generationally wealthy man. He's done a fine for himself. I'm sure he'll have, a comfortable life, but it's a living at this point for him. And he's a guy like some others on the team, Malik Harrison or Anthony Levine, Albert McClellan in past years, who hung around for a long time based on how they could help the team in a very specific role.
Yeah, and I know that there were some question marks, especially after he left Baltimore, about just what type of player he was. Obviously, going to Chicago, Dallas for some time. I believe he was in Tennessee for a little bit as well. But has found his way back and has established it's not a big role, but I think it's the right role for him. And injuries, as you mentioned, were a big part of his story early in his Baltimore career. It's why, of course, he wasn't able to cash in the way that I think people thought he maybe could coming out of Virginia and having a lot of quality traits for a young player at the time. But I think to me, he's a player that just in that room where if you take Urban out of the equation, Michael Pierce is the only other veteran alongside younger players. Matt Ibike obviously stepping up in more of a leadership role now with him being drafted in 2020. But Urban as a player is a leader, not only in the defensive line room, but on that defense, plus playing a solid role on the field too. I think that's the perfect fit for both him and the Ravens.
Yeah, it's definitely a good fit. And those five guys were uninjured the entire year last year. So yep. Broderick Washington did get sat once, but the rest of the five guys played every single snap, somehow divided among them on the IDL. And the IDL played a lot of snaps last year relative to some of the Martindale years because they didn't have a lot of outside linebacker depth and they didn't run a lot of rush nickel. So they had most of their pass rush coming. They had a lot of interior pass rush coming from interior defensive linemen as opposed to outside linebacker kickers kicked inside. So yeah. They definitely a big role taken by that group last year. All right, I'll pick a different lineman. I'm not going to talk about one of the guys who's been on the team for a while and like Washington or who got snaps in this game. Let's talk about Ravenel, who didn't have a particularly long or great game this week with only 17 snaps. Did not play the edge as he did, so it was a lot of uncovered edge in the first week. We talked earlier in the first part of the show about the Ravens not really showing any unusual packages. In the first week, they basically played a whole lot of uncovered nickel, one outside linebacker of the field. You play a five tech at the other side, or actually referred to him as he's playing outside linebacker in this game. So Orr thinks he's playing a standard package. He's just putting a different player there. And I say he's playing an uncovered nickel. That's one of the packages kind of thing. But Orr would know because he knows what he's expecting that player to be able to do while playing at that position. So I, a rookie played well in that first game. Wasn't terrible in this game. Played 17 snaps. I think he's one of the guys the Ravens want to try and keep on the practice squad because I think if they have him there, he's a potential future replacement for Urban, who, as good as he's been for as long as he's been, it will eventually be over for Brent.
Yeah, I am in agreement with you. I think as a practice squad player, this makes a lot of sense, depending on which route Baltimore does decide to go, whether they want to keep a bunch of vets or maybe balance it out a little more. I am of the mindset that it's great to have vets, but I think you should also balance it a little bit too. I'd assume they'll probably lean vets this time around as well, but to have a couple of more younger players on there to be able to develop. Obviously, we know Baltimore's made a lot of bread and butter in this football industry, being able to develop their guys and finding these undrafted gems and the expanded practice squads. It does give a team like the Ravens added opportunity to keep guys around for a year and just have them there as opposed to worry about losing them off of waivers. And then they have, I believe it was an 8 or 9 practice squad team before the expansion happened. Mm-hmm. So it's difficult to envision him making the roster, obviously, with the core five being there. I think that's what they're going to roll with. I think that's a decently obvious statement, but as a practice squad guy, I think Ravenel does have a decent shot if they decide to go young there, because I've liked what I've seen so far. As you mentioned, I was more impressed the first time around as maybe opposed to a couple of days ago here as we're recording this, but I think he's done enough to at least warrant a practice squad spot.
Yeah. All right, your turn.
I'm going to go with the veteran who I think is the main practice squad player for the Ravens if they decide to go this way, and that is Josh Dupo, who comes over. Was a long time Cincinnati Bengal, or at least he played some time over there. Actually had an open field tackle on Lamar Jackson way back in the day.
Yep.
So that is what I think Bengals fans, actually, I had one of my Bengals followers send me over that clip once Tuvo signed with the Ravens. It was, this is the guy that tackled Lamar. But I thought he made a couple of solid contributions. It was not a perfect game from him by any stretch of the imagination. But I think that as a guy that has been around in the league for a while, and if they need a guy to step in for a week or for multiple weeks as one of their core five maybe gets injured and they have to get back to health, I think that Tupo is a good player to have just waiting in the wings. And with their practice squad, I guess, trend that they have displayed over the last few seasons, would not be shocked if he makes this practice squad there. Again, I don't think it's a roster spot for him, but as a practice squad player, I could certainly see it.
Yeah, he's really a nose tackle. He's 30 years old, 6 years in the league. I think I have said this wrong on in air, and I'll tell you why this may have happened, but he's got 1,607 NFL snaps now in regular season play, which is terrific. I think I quoted that number at about 400. That's actually his preseason number of snaps he's got career. So he's actually played quite a bit. That's a fairly substantial chunk of snaps for a guy who's had a career, that has been non-trivial in terms of his total playing time. But I don't disagree with you. I think of the other guys, I think he's the one who makes the most sense. I've seen less from Sanat in this particular game. Tupou made our notes only four times. All of those were being blocked near the point of attack on Atlanta run wins. And of course, Atlanta had a lot of those in the second half. And unfortunately, Tupou was part of sometimes he's getting blocked by a double team, and there's really not a lot to take from that. It even is kind of a good thing for him if he can hold his ground a little bit. But most of the time, it's not a good thing to be mentioned in those near the point of attack block notes. And that's what he was in this case.
Yeah. We have noted that, the running game, as you talked about, definitely picked up for Atlanta in the second half. And that's going to happen when guys end up leaving the game, like a Brent Urban. But I still think that for him, out of all the guys, like you mentioned, I thought Tupou had more positive plays than Sanat. And that to me is why I kind of favor him over Sanat for that practice squad spot right now.
With you right there. Let's move on and talk about the outside linebacker group. We'll stay at the line of scrimmage. Talk about those guys from this game. I had about four guys play. We talked about them in the first episode, but let's remind people that the order of entry was Ajabo, then Robinson, then Isaac, then Evans, who all split those outside linebacker snaps.
Yeah, I think I'd be pretty remiss if I did not mention David Ajabo is the first man up here, just because for a guy that did not record a tackle in this game on the stat sheet, I mean, he was doing a little bit of everything. I thought for a guy that isn't necessarily known for setting the edge, he actually had a couple of pretty good edge setting reps that I saw early in this game. I also thought his pass rushing moves. I mean, the viral clip right now is the spin move that he had where he was able to get the quarterback hit that I know some are surprised there was not a flag on that quarterback hit. But again, this is the type of thing that the Ravens needed to see, because with Jadeveon Clowney going to Carolina, Adafi Owe obviously kind of slotting into that guy opposite of Kyle Van Noy and what you want to use with him, is a third rusher, someone who we know David Ajabo coming out of Michigan, he found it in that final year, but the injuries have held him back. If he can stay healthy, I don't think anybody's asking him for a double-digit sack season this year. It'd be great. Like, I'd love it. But if he can sit anywhere in that 6-9, 7-9 range for sacks, that would be a wildly successful season for him. And I think in this game, he showed off a lot of the potential that so many people have been waiting to see. And that, by the way, he has shown in regular season action too. His first ever tackle was a strip sack on Joe Burrow. And he obviously last season even showed some promise as well. It's just been a matter of him staying on the field and staying healthy. But there could have been a world where he struggled in this game coming back, and there would have been questions about, is he truly 100%, truly ready? He looked every bit as ready as he could for this game on Saturday.
Yeah, the future is right now for David Ajabo. There's no tomorrow in terms of his NFL career. I thought there was a legitimate chance, and I don't think that anymore. I think now he's made the team, but I thought there was a legitimate chance he could be cut if he had not looked good in camp, not looked good in preseason. I also don't want to overreact to what happened in this game, because it was a fairly short outing, which is good for the pass rush events he had. He had two really nice wins. The guy he beat, the right tackle, Andrew Stuber, I believe has never played a regular season snap. He's been around the league, been around the Falcons practice squad and maybe other practice squads, but the Falcons practice squad anyway for three years, but he's never played a regular season snap. So guy who hopefully this is meaningful. What we saw, the spin move was certainly worthy of several replays in terms of seeing it. I thought he had one good edge set, I thought, against a tight end that was terrific. When he got blocked by the left tackle Davenport, I didn't think he was able to make the tackle on Washington that it looked like he maybe had a chance to make. Got kind of pushed off that. It's okay. I what I'll say is overall level of play, very happy with in this game. No doubt about it. This was a big step forward for David Ajabo in terms of my expectations for him. But in terms of some of the other things that are happening, like the camp battles with Kadir Ismail that we mentioned in the first episode, just go back and listen to that. We're not going to repeat it. But that's not a good thing. It's not a good thing to have that be hanging around your head. It's like, yeah, I have this rivalry with this third grader and I'm an 11th grader. You know, it's just you don't look good if you're
for reference, Kadir Ismail is quite a tall third grader in this scenario. So quite a big guy.
Yeah. There's actually an episode of, I don't know if you used to watch the show Malcolm in the Middle, but there's this bratty kid who's giving him all this trouble and he's you know, huge and he beats him up, or he hits him anyway. And then he goes crying to home, and they find out he's a second grader.
There we go.
Perfect.
There
this
we
is
go.
Exactly what we got. Yep. Yeah.
Love that. Yeah, man. He has a ton of potential. We know that. But again, I'm with you, Ken, where we can say he had a great performance in his action, but I'm not going to say all of a sudden, okay, David Ajabo is the prince that was promised with just one game. Obviously, we got to see it more and more consistently.
All right. I want to go on to one of my favorite players from this game, because I thought just had a fabulous game, was in there for a long time. Adisa Isaac entered on the second drive of the game, played 38 snaps. Really terrific. He got pressure. There's one play where he's just as held as a player could ever be held. It didn't get called, which was unfortunate. That was Davenport, the left tackle, who just couldn't find any other way to stop him on what ended up being a run left for six. So a holding penalty would have been a big deal there, as if a holding penalty is ever not a big deal. He did get fooled early. We talked about the Ravens getting fooled by the boot a lot early on. Well, Adisa Isaac was one of the backside edge defenders in the first half who got fooled and led to a 9-yard play and an ample time and space allowance. That's okay. These kind of things happen. He did have some unblocked plays where he knew how to contain. I thought that was good. And then he had a free run on Paddock at one point, which was one of his pressures that obviously doesn't count as much towards our view of him, because he's going to have to be a one-on-one tackle beater and maybe a one-on-one tight end beater to a slightly less extensive degree. But it looks like, I think he'll be ready to play as a situational pass rusher right away. I don't see him obviously being a big run defense asset, but I don't think that's nearly as important. Right now, the Ravens need pass rushers. And if you can have, 18 to 20 rested snaps from Adisa Isaac per game, and more than that when the Ravens have a lead and want to use him more, I think that's terrific and just big step forward. And he's been a long time getting on the field in this camp.
To me, I think that's the biggest storyline here, is it took forever, right? I mean, it was such a long process for him to be able to get on the field and show his stuff. And, he kind of had the injury and then he tried to work back, and then it was this whole situation. But then he's able to come back with not a ton of practice time under his belt. Like, he's still kind of working his way in a little bit here. And then he comes out and it's this like coming out party of a guy that, I was kind of thinking, well, if he doesn't show a lot in the preseason, obviously he's making the team, but he could just be a game day inactive most weeks if they want to only carry four and they feel like somebody else can come in and do his role and they want to have an extra O-lineman or defensive back or whatever it might be. But this is the exact performance that you're just like, oh, wow, I think they have to find a spot, and I think that he can contribute, because we can talk. It's the same thing with Ajabo, where it's like, okay, obviously it's one game. You want to see more consistently against the talent game situations, but this was about as good of a game as you could have, just coming back and just working your way back in. We know he's talented. We know that the potential obviously coming out of Penn State is huge, but his pass rushing plan, I thought, was very impressive. I thought that overall, he just knew what he wanted to do out on the field. And when you have that type of confidence, it usually results in you getting a lot of wins, especially against either inexperienced or just not good players that sometimes you go up against in the preseason when you're talking about third, fourth stringers. So I was so impressed with him in this game. And I thought that out of any guy that maybe changed perception, I think he changed my perception the most about what his role could be this season.
Yeah, I think that's very, very fair. I really like in terms of this, the pairing of Owe and Van Noy on the first team defensive line is very natural, because Owe is a rush linebacker and Van Noy is a a Sam linebacker, or at least he has been for a lot of his career. He did actually talk about wanting to drop into the secondary less and staying on the line of scrimmage. But those two are a very natural pairing with your first group or your most regular group. Isaac and Ajabo may be competing for some snaps in some way. Isaac could be used as a Sam linebacker, I suppose. But really, Isaac, I hope his play in this game lights a fire under Ajabo, and this becomes this great ongoing battle for the whole season for snaps, as far as I would like it. If the Ravens continue to be the kind of team that does not give up interior defensive line snaps for kick-ins, you know, so your outside linebackers, they don't have extra snaps where they can play three or four on the field at the same time. And then there's going to be a lot of competition for pass rush snaps that accrues, and having a good rivalry between Isaac and Ajabo, particularly one where they may both be active on game day and Isaac may be, you know, pointing to special teams play or something else that's helping point. I don't think Ajabo is going to play special teams, but it'll be really interesting to see how this develops. And I think there's a good chance between the two of them that they get a good pass rusher performance this year. I don't think it's necessarily either one of them, but I think between the two of them, I think they could get one good pass rush performance this year.
And I think that's it's not a problem. It's a great thing to have, because if there is any worry about David Ajabo and his health situation, and is he going to be able to hold up for a full season, to be able to split some of those snaps off to Adisa Isaac, someone who can play a lot of similar situations and play a similar role to what he can have. I mean, it's not exactly a one-for-one trade-off here, but it's kind of similar to the offensive tackle situation down the stretch last season, where obviously it benefited Ronnie Stanley and Morgan Moses to have some series off. And you're kind of worried about, oh, well, can this guy play, you know, a full complement of snaps? I don't think we're necessarily to that point with David Ajabo right now, but it doesn't hurt to have a guy more well-rested and a guy that has obviously come off of two very serious leg injuries in the past two seasons. I think that that's a perfect role. Plus, you know, Tavius Robinson is going to be your early down player anyway. And we know that Ajabo and Isaac are going to be more of that pass rush specialist type of thing. Mm-hmm. I would not be mad at all if they kind of use those guys in rotation with each other, and even just keeping Ajabo off of his feet and not having to play that full complement of the quote unquote, like third pass rusher outside of Owe and Van Noy. I think that's a great situation to use him in.
This is one of these things also where Harbaugh, if he wants to play motivational games with this, and I think he's kind of always thinking along these lines sometimes with some of the things we see happen. Isaac and Ajabo might be trading weeks on the roster, on the game day roster. Now, it seems like excessive. Octavius Robinson could also miss weeks on the active roster potentially. But you outside linebacker is a position where the Ravens have a lot of depth. And unless you consider Harrison as your emergency inside linebacker and you then can sit an inside linebacker, you got to find a place to find your deactivations for the week. You have the two that come from the offensive line. That's about the easiest ones you can get after, or one, actually, if you can only carry nine linemen, it's only one. So, you know, you got to find the rest of them, and it's not easy a lot of times. So we'll see how that plays out with these two.
Yeah. I'm excited for it. And I think that, again, there's a lot of potential with both Ajabo and Isaac, and they put it on display in this game. Again, two guys just coming back from injury, just getting cleared for game action. And I think that's about as good as you can do.
Anybody else on the outside linebacker group you want to talk about?
I think Tavius Robinson is definitely a guy we have to talk about here. Someone who played pretty much the entire game and obviously won the Ravens the game at the end with his read on that option. I know the Falcons quarterback, I think, certainly regretted not keeping that ball instead of handing it off to the running back. But Robinson is a guy that, I say it all the time, wasn't expecting a lot from his rookie season, came in and played really well, a lot better than I thought he was going to. This is a player that the reason and the fact I think that they played him for the majority of this game shows that they have a big plan in mind for him. They really want to get him on the field and contributing this season. And they wanted to see what's the plan here? What's going on? And I think for Tavius Robinson, he had a really, really good game. I thought he was everywhere. He was a beast. And I think that he's going to play a big role this season for Baltimore.
Yeah, I hope you're right about that. I certainly hope that he plays an effective role at whatever it is. If he plays on early downs, I hope he does that effectively. If they're relying on him for pass rush downs for any reason, I hope it's because he's good and not because injuries right. have struck. So in any case, I thought Tavius actually had a pretty mixed game of run defense. We've got him for some not so great run defense. We've got him for he was actually the one guy in the first half that wasn't fooled by one of Heinicke's boots. So the only time they knocked him off ATS during that first half on a boot play, it was Robinson who diagnosed it. So that was good. But he also missed a tackle on Washington. He got bopped around a little bit in the run game otherwise. But then he came through when the time was right and got that 2-point conversion stop. I don't think this game changes anything about Robinson. One of the kind of the difficult things about this is he only got one pressure event, and that was on that diagnosed boot where he in 22 pass rush snaps. That's not going to cut it. So he's going to need to get more pressure on the quarterback. This is just, it was made a big play at the right time. Didn't really change my opinion of him, of this. He certainly belongs on the team. He is a guy, I think, who may be fighting for some game day activations along with Ajabo and Isaac.
It'll be about how they want to use these guys in tandem with each other. The three between mm-hmm. you mentioned Isaac and Ajabo. If they need more pass rushing juice, would not be shocked if Robinson gets some game day inactives. If they want to trust in that run defense a little more, it's probably going to be Isaac, possibly Ajabo. So it's interesting because they are relying on so much youth at that edge position. Even if you want to throw Odafeowe into this conversation, they're relying on a bunch of it right now. But their last three, you know, they don't have the luxury of having Odafeowe as a number three guy anymore. You know, it's right. a lot more uncertain between Ajabo, Robinson, and Adisa Isaac. And if Isaac and Ajabo didn't have the games that they did, I think the question still would have been like, are they going to bring in a guy at some point? Like, are they going to try a Carl Lawson or something, which I don't think would have moved the needle personally, but
right.
It would have been like, okay, they have Calvin, Noyes, Yvette, and then four really young players. And to say Ajabo's really young probably is a stretch, but I mean, still, between the last three guys, there are going to be a lot of opportunities, and young guys have to step up. That's kind of the theme for Baltimore this season across their entire team.
Right. All right, let's move on from outside linebacker, go to inside linebacker. Who do you want to talk about there?
Trent Simpson was, I think, one of my top performers in this game. I think one of the things that really stood out to me was his ability in pass coverage. It's something that Patrick Queen certainly struggled with at times over the course of his Ravens career. And I think Trenton Simpson is equipped to kind of come right in and do that. But it's not only that. It's the fact he made open field tackles. He was diagnosing well. He was involved in the run game. He was everywhere. I don't think we have to see any more Trenton Simpson this preseason. I think you can put him on the sideline, keep him ready for the regular season. There were always going to be some conversations about, well, with Patrick Queen not there anymore, you can certainly run more dime packages if you want with Roquan out there, and then you take Simpson off the field potentially, and you can work things that way. But he's been really impressive through two preseason games, particularly in this one. I thought that a lot to me stood out about him.
Yeah, terrific game. He had the big thing. If you want to be good on third down, you have to have players who make plays on third down. And Trenton Simpson, on the first three drives of the game, ended the drive with a third down play. Now, he doesn't get any better than that. When I see players having multiples in a single game, always gets mentioned in my article. But he dislodged the football. He had pressure for a quarterback hit, beating Carlos Washington when JAD dislodged the football on the first third and 11. On third and nine, then he tracked down Heinicke for a run right for 2 yards on the scramble. And then he...
Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium, 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious, high-potency gummies, top-shelf flower, home-baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary, you can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood And don't forget to use promo code Ravens when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Knocked down Heinicke as he threw to, he knocked down the pass intended for Fitzpatrick, yes. 13 yards from the line of scrimmage. That one was the most impressive to me. And the reason that it's more important is I already believe that Simpson has the pass rush traits that are roughly similar to what Patrick Queen brought to the table. A guy who, a lot of speed, a lot of ability to get downhill quickly, a lot of choose gap, probably more ability than Queen had to go correctly to the football, to the spot he's supposed to go to. But even though he's a converted safety and some of those skills should be portable, the things that has worried me about Simpson is that he wouldn't be the asset in coverage. They hoped he wouldn't. He couldn't be a three down linebacker. Now, is that so terrible? It's not so terrible when you have good dime backs, and the Ravens certainly do. It just means you might've drafted him too high, to pick him where you did. But you know, the truth be told now, I'm bought in on the Simpson train to go committed nickel until that doesn't work. I think Simpson has earned the right to fail at that position. I'm sure Orr feels that way as being a three down will himself. I think that's what we'll see to start the season. And if for some reason, Simpson starts to struggle as a coverage guy, I hope they'll move to dime pretty quickly. I hope that it won't be a long thing. And Simpson does have to be given a chance to develop as a coverage guy. But on the other hand, the starting assumption, in my opinion, usually is don't trust an inside linebacker to cover your second best coverage inside linebacker to cover better than your third best safety. That third best safety is usually going to be a better cover guy.
Yeah. And they have the personnel to go to dime. And we know that they do. And I think that one of the questions or one of the big things for a team that is contending but is also relying on a lot of young talent is how much of a runway you give a lot of these players. How many mistakes do you allow them to make before it really starts to hinder your ability to win? Is it costing you games? Because there is a balance. You know, this isn't a team that has no expectations and they're going to go, 3-14 this season. Like, this is a Super Bowl team that hopefully can get there. And if Trent Simpson starts to, fall off a little bit, or he starts making mistakes that result in scores, or ends up going and has this play that really impacts a game, what is the threshold to say, we're going to just let him play through this? And then what is the threshold to say, well, now something really has to change? That to me is one of the most intriguing things, not only for Simpson, but the entire roster in terms of some of these young players this year.
Yep. Yep. They do have a lot of that going around, outside linebacker, inside linebacker, corner, potentially. There's a lot of youth. They got some wonderfully veteran safeties to complement all that. But yeah, they do have a lot of youth. All right. So let's see, another inside linebacker we can talk about. Kind of talked about Malik Harris on the first show, so I don't really want to repeat that. Vandy Rigby, we got into a little bit of detail on the first show about how a lot of his tackles are defensive losses. Don't want to repeat that, but please go listen to that first pod and try and look at that. Malik Harrison, really nice to see him play inside linebacker. Did also talk about this briefly, but I don't think the importance of it can be overstated. The value of having an inside and outside linebacker like Harrison, who's also a special teams 5-unit player, is a guy who can save you a roster spot. So if you can overlap that, maybe it makes it a little bit less painful to carry 5 other outside linebackers on game day. Maybe you can find a way to do that. Usually what I find is injuries will take care of that problem for you. And that's certainly been the case at corner, where the Ravens have, several years in recent memories have found themselves all of a sudden very thin at corner when they thought they had a cornucopia of talent there.
Yeah. It used to be, Kyle Van Noy did that for a while for other teams, where he had that inside outside versatility where he did play inside certain years. He played outside other years. Obviously he's found a home with Baltimore on the outside. But every team, I think, would love to have that versatility. And a lot of teams do have players like that. It's not just the Ravens. So the fact that they were kind of making him, out to be Bowser's Sam backup, and he was doing it at Ohio State. We know those facts to be true. So it's a good thing to have him on the roster doing what he can.
By the way, I think Kyle Van Noy's complete interview from the podium recently is out there. And if you want to listen to it, there's some funny stuff in his answers, but most of the funny stuff is him kind of working the crowd as when people are trying to get his attention to ask questions. Okay. And you'll notice him like it's very funny what he does. And then I heard after that time, the podium, he actually does stand up comedy as a sidelight.
Oh,
I really didn't know this, but it either. Really makes it worth it. Listen to that interview and see if this guy has the pacing you expect of a stand-up comic. It's like, wow. Hey, yeah, that would make a lot of sense to me. Kind of thing. He's got this delivery that really is.
That is great. Really now funny. I'm going to go back and listen. I did not know that. That is incredible. Oh, man.
Yeah. So there's one point in this I'll point out, and nothing bad was intended by this on any of the parties. So I just want to be, it's all clean fun. But I said Kyle and started to ask my question. Gianna Han, who's is on the other side, says, Kyle, let me got her question out. Kyle looks over to her and he goes, wow, you really bullied him, didn't you? It was in that kind of voice. It was very fun. So it's but I got to ask my question later anyway. I'll just say it completely makes sense that he could do stand-up comedy.
Wow, that is incredible. I need to go back. You know what? The Ravens love those personalities. It makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense.
All right. So let's see. I think we've gone through the inside linebacker position. Let's move on to corner and kind of get on towards wrapping this up a little bit. Who do you want to talk about there?
We can start with Jalen Armour Davis, I think. I know that he didn't play necessarily a ton of snaps in this game, but I thought that he showed decently good stuff. I thought he had the pass breakup. He was involved. And for a guy that I was like, yeah, he'll probably make the roster, but there's still a shot that maybe he won't. I think this game kind of solidified to me. And obviously there's been a lot made about the comments that the team has put out about him and everything that's been said about him. I think that he's pretty much a roster lock at this point for that final outside spot.
Yeah, really. I mean, they've got four spots. I don't think there's any way TJ Tampa will not have a spot, even though we haven't seen him on the field yet. But he's a rookie and Jalen Armour Davis is a third year player. So if anybody's in danger, it'd be Jalen Armour Davis, who hasn't really, done anything to date in the NFL. What's funny about it is these 15 snaps were the best game he's ever played as a pro. And when you look at it, he still hardly played any games as a pro. This was only his third preseason game ever, in eight possible opportunities. So certainly from that perspective, he hasn't played much. And we know he hasn't played very much in the regular season. His total number of snaps is minuscule. So this was a game, and this is a preseason for Armour Davis. He really needed to be healthy. Putting his best game out there on tape this week was awfully good for him. Had a big penalty in the first game, didn't look so good. And in this game, both the passes thrown his way were incomplete. We're not talking big sample sizes in terms of 15 snaps, but it's still a positive portent.
Yeah, they definitely like him, and it's certainly on display. So the fact that he was able to have this game, I'm sure Baltimore's looking at that and saying, "All right, here's the guy right now." Not that other guys haven't performed well at that position. We're certainly get to that, but it feels like he's kind of a lock for that spot now.
All right, I'm going to move on and talk about Bump Cooper. Outstanding preseason he's having. At great camp, too, by the way. He's really looking like a player. But they've thrown at him five times this preseason with no completions. Had a PD in the end zone the first game. 0-for-1 in this game. Good bracket coverage with Worley, and one play in this game was his only target. So I think, he pretty probably ends up on the practice squad. He's a guy who can play inside or outside. The important thing, by the way, it's like being a starting pitcher or a reliever. An outside corner is a starting pitcher and a guy who can play the slot as a reliever. You can't fix your outside – you can't fix your starting pitching with a bunch of additional relievers. So you can fill your team with slot corners. It doesn't fit. So the important thing is to be an outside corner. Okay, Bump Cooper can do that, in my opinion. And he could be a guy also who could move inside and is not – bothered by the relative size and change of direction needs of the slot position either. But anyway, another good game from him.
Yeah, I agree. He's been one of the standouts so far throughout the entire preseason. I think with that does come if he does not make the roster, which is not projected right now. For me, I think that there is a shot that he would possibly get claimed off of waivers when that cutdown day happens. And you kind of have to pray a little bit like you did Ardarius Washington and have that situation where he somehow made it to Baltimore's practice squad. I have no idea how that happened. Bump Cooper obviously has less pedigree coming out of school than Washington did, who was rejected as a third or fourth round pick. But he's shown everything you've wanted. And plus that versatility that you mentioned, that has so much value to what the Ravens do on defense and would be a great, great player to have on the practice squad.
Anyone else in the corner group you want to talk about?
Pepe Williams, I think, is we can talk about him a little bit, where had the penalty, but he's been the guy that Zach Orr has used in that slot blitzing role, which is something that they loved to do last year. I expect that to carry over this year, whether it is him or Ardarius Washington. Obviously, it'll be Arthur Millett when he comes back and they'll Hamilton. Play there. But Hamilton's that other guy, too, that, you know, three sacks in the first half against the Colts, just historic stuff there. It's a big part of their defensive group because it's such a hard play to stop, especially because they're so good at disguising it. And all these guys that do it have such quick releases off the snap just to get there in a hurry. Of course, when it's coming off of the blind side, it's effective, but Hamilton was doing it even just coming right at the quarterback and it worked. Gardner Minshew back in that Indy game had no idea what was going on. So to me, I thought Pepe Williams has been used really well in that role. I don't think his roster spot is secure. I think it is more likely than not that he makes it, but it also wouldn't necessarily fully shock me if he didn't and they tried to either sneak him on the practice squad or he even got claimed somewhere else if he does get cut.
Yeah, he's definitely on the bubble, and he will have to go through waivers unlike some of their other older guys. Like I think Holman does have to go through waivers because he's a fourth-year player, but yeah. Mullen does not, I believe, because I believe he's a fifth-year player. I believe, and I may be wrong about that. But in any case, they have players who do need to go through and players who don't. If player doesn't need to go through waivers, the key element is there. He can be part of the handshake crew, go to the practice squad, and you know, have a promise, an unenforceable promise to come back that the Ravens may really drive value from, something they've done with Urban and Worley and others in past years, Levine. I'm probably less sure about Pepe's position. He's been on the field not very much, and he's played not very well in his first 2 years. And in a lot of ways, he's similar to Jalen Armour Davis and has been competing for playing time with him at times, even though they play a different position because of the versatility of a Humphrey, say, to move him inside or outside. They've been really having to decide between those two. It to me, I'm not 100% sure he's in. I think the fact that he was used twice on the blitz is something I like a lot, and it might indicate how much Orr likes him to get tape like this up. But also maybe just Orr's doing him a favor. He knows he's not going to make the roster, and he wants to see him get a chance with another team by putting some good tape out there.
Yeah, it could be. It could be that. I think that he still is a lot of talent, a lot of potential there, but it could just be a numbers game for him where, you know, hasn't performed up to the level he's needed to, as you mentioned, over the first couple of years of his career. Health has obviously been an issue for him as well, a little bit too. So he could just be forced out due to numbers and the sheer amount of depth they have at both corner and the safety spot even this year too.
Bring up one more corner before we move on is Trayvon Mullen. Now, the big problem with Trayvon is he just hasn't been able to get on the field for the Ravens. Injured last year. They re-signed him for this year, and he played reasonably well, but the major point was just him getting on the field because it'd been a long time coming back from a dislocated shoulder. He had a couple interceptions in camp on one day that looked good, snatching the ball quickly away from his body, which I love to see, those quick hands from a cornerback and the reaction to the football. He's a guy who has started some games with Las Vegas. That said, we're now almost three seasons removed from that. So it happened in 2021. Remarkably, Trayvon will still only be 27 in September. So he's still a fairly young man for a guy who's been around the league for whatever it is, 5 years or so. So hopefully he still can offer the Ravens up something. There's probably some minor amount of truth to the nepotism of being a cousin of Lamar Jackson that's kept him around. But I think he's shown that he's played well enough in this camp and preseason that the risk was not entirely undue.
I think to me, he's one of those guys we've talked about as like the perfect practice squad type of guy who, if he can stay healthy, he can be effective. But that you're right. That has been a thing where it feels like he's been with the team for a couple of years now. And the whole story has been, well, he got injured here. He got injured already this offseason. He had the, I forget, was it an arm issue or something?
Dislocated shoulder.
Okay. Yeah. So he's even been injured this year. So obviously that's a tough thing because one of the most valuable traits you can have is availability. And if you're not on the field, he can't help the team. So I think, obviously, I don't believe he's making this roster, but as a practice squad player, would not be shocked if he's a staple there for the entire season.
All right. Great. Move on to safety?
Yeah, let's do safety. The player that impressed me the most out of the safety group was Bill Braid. I think that he was everywhere. He was all around the ball. Great tackles, pass breakups, obviously the interception that did not end up counting, and then he ended up fumbling it anyway. So it was kind of a crazy, wacky play there. But he has looked really good to me over the course of what we're talking about here, because he's a guy out of Maryland who I think is an undrafted player. Like he is pushing for a spot. I don't know if he's going to end up getting there, but he is certainly pushing for it. And his versatility, his physicality, obviously, his ability to help and run support, plus be a guy that can play on the back end and be effective in coverage. I thought that he was doing everything in his power to fight for a roster spot in this game because he was absolutely everywhere.
You know, there were a lot of good plays and there were a couple of bad plays. So yeah. I'm for Braid. I thought that he played well in each of the two games or did, made an impact in each of the two games. And he's shown me enough in terms of his apparent playmaking ability for me to get excited about it. Here's the issue was that he was in coverage on Matthews and fell down behind on a play that he got just very lucky that Paddock overthrew the football and it went through the end zone. Paddock or Heineke? Paddock. Yeah. And Evans got one of his pressures on that play. So that was, it was a nice combination of the, they happened to get pressure on that play to keep the ball incomplete or help keep the ball incomplete. But then he also got flagged for defensive holding in the end zone. That was declined, but it would have been a play that would have converted a first down at the 5 instead of at the 3, which would have been plenty bad. And then that becomes the worst the worst situation that the Falcons could have, as opposed to the best or the only situation, which is why post-snap fouls are so damn horrible, is that they offer the opposing team that optionality. But anyway, there's plenty of positive go around. I love the acrobatic nature of that interception. I love the way he's flying around on run fits and getting low. And he seems to have a very good understanding of where he needs to hit a player to get him on the ground. I think if I had to say, he still looks like more of a strong safety run fit player who is not going to be a great half field player with those kind of instincts. I don't yet see that from him. Now, that's not to say that he couldn't become that at some point, but players like Geno Stone, they came to the NFL with that. Geno Stone, highly, highly touted for his instincts out of Iowa, was really kind of a slow player who did that. And there's a lot of guys. Okay, there's a few guys every year who fit that description. Bo Braid is not one of them. He's not that really dominant back end instincty player. I think he's a very good physical downhill player. Could be a good special teams player. And I think that, this was a pretty good afternoon for him. So he's on my list of good players in this one.
Yeah, I think he's probably a practice squad guy for me. Again, I think he's pushing for a spot, but I'm not quite sure he gets over that hump. I wouldn't be surprised if he did, but I think he's shown a lot and has improved his stock pretty dramatically over the course of the preseason here.
All right. I don't have anybody else to talk about. Eddie Jackson and Daryl Worley, the superstar of preseason football, who we talked about some already. I don't think we need to talk about them. And is there anybody else who was in there early in the game? Ardarius Washington, I will just mention briefly, do you want to see Ardarius Washington get playing time at slot corner, or do you want to see them try and continue with the experiment and have him back there?
I don't think they have anybody else. I mean, the only other option would be Sanusi Kane, who is still working his way back from the stinger. But I mean, I think that they kind of need Ardarius in that safety role. The issue is that if it's not Pepe Williams, they also need him playing slot corner. So I think that they might favor playing him in the slot early just to have him there. And then once Mallette comes back, they want to transition him more to a full-time safety with the emergency backup slot title. I think that's probably what they might do. But it's just going to be a matter of circumstance, because I think he can do both effectively. But based off of need right now, if Pepe either doesn't make this team or they don't feel confident enough of him to play in the slot, I think it's pretty clearly Ardarius's job, with other guys being able to slot in when necessary.
I basically say that I think if Mallette is, first of all, out for an undefined amount of time. Yeah. So he's going to be out at least 4 weeks, because he can start the year on IR. They're expecting him to miss some of the season. So they need to figure out what they're doing at slot corner between several options. Ardarius is one, Williams is one, and Humphrey is one, if they want to move him inside and play Wiggins on the outside. That's very possible. So they've got multiple options. And all of that is just to complement the guy they really want in there for most of the snaps, which is Hamilton. Playing a big nickel for as many snaps as they can, but an obvious passing down. So you're going to want Hamilton to play on the back end as opposed to up close to the line of scrimmage or opposite the slot receiver. So anyway, my prediction would be, if Ardarius starts the season as the passing down slot corner, very possible Mallette gets Wally Pipped in this situation. Now, for those who don't know, Wally Pipp is the first baseman who was replaced by Lou Gehrig for the Yankees. And then Lou Gehrig started his streak of consecutive games and never left the lineup again. And that's what I think might happen with Ardarius Washington, is that, you know, all of a sudden we see a player who plays too well to be taken off the field, and Mallette's ready. Oh, well, big deal. You know, so he literally could, they might not have a spot for him. They might keep him on IR, think about DTRing, and they may even get to the end of the season, have extra DTRs left, which they did last year. And then, like Malik Ham, they did this for, they activated him to practice, opened a 3-week window. And then at the end of it, they said, oh no, we he's not ready yet. Or, you know, we can't, and he reverted to regular IR. And the real reason wasn't because Malik Ham wasn't ready. It was because the Ravens didn't have a spot for him. And they were doing just a prophylactic measure to try and get him ready to play, or sorry, have him available to play by activating him. So it would not shock me if Mallette were to sit out the entire, it would be unlikely, but because the injuries happen at corner, and it's probably they're going to attrit a little bit, but it would not shock me if Mallette stayed out the entire season, if Ardarius Washington takes that position to start and plays well.
And I think he can play well there. I mean, he has all the talent in the world. He was one of my guys coming out of that draft class. I was shocked he won undrafted, obviously mostly due to the size, but he has that versatility now. And in the slot, if you want to keep Marone on the outside, obviously you want Kyle in there as much as you can, but for those other snaps, Washington is a guy that I think could come in and make a huge impact.
All right. Now let's, before we close out the show, let's talk about our MVPs from this game on defense. Do you have a 3-2-1 prepared?
Yes. Are we all in a row, or are we just,
just your number three guy, my number three guy, we'll go through quick.
Okay. My number three, Bo Braid. I thought that he was awesome. And although it wasn't perfect, I thought he was everywhere and made a huge impact in the game.
Fair enough. I had him originally in my number three, and then I realized, now looking at my thing, that I didn't include a certain other player that needs to be included. So my number three guy is Tavius Robinson. Made the big play at the right time. I just felt like, you know, winning them the ball game, even though he also didn't have a perfect game by any stretch, was a good thing.
Yeah, for sure. Tavius Robinson, not on my list. But my number two player, I'll give it to David Ojabo. Even in a small sample size for him, I thought he did everything that he could. especially just, you know, it wasn't just the pass rush. Him obviously setting the edge early was huge. The pass rushing moves were there for him. I think it was about as good of a game as he could have had coming back and being cleared to play for the first time this preseason.
Very realistic choice. He's on my honorable mention list, and I respect that one. My number two guy is Adisa Isaac, 38 snaps, played outstanding all over the field, got things figured out, and obviously just took a huge jump forward in terms of what I expect him to do for the 2024 Ravens or the role he could play for them.
Yeah, Isaac, my number four guy. He just missed the cut for me, even though I thought he had a phenomenal game. And then number one for me is Trenton Simpson. I think he was everywhere doing his thing, showed enough to me to where, you know, coming into the preseason, there were definitely some questions about just like, okay, we know Trenton Simpson has a talent, but how is it going to translate over to just, even if it's just preseason game action? And I think he's answered every call, checked almost every box here. And he was incredible in this Falcons game.
Completely agree. Number one also for me. And for me, Simpson is just a tick below what we got from Wiggins in terms of a change of expectations for the year. With Simpson, we already kind of knew he was going to be good, and he was wearing the green dot and doing some things. And it's nice to see him playing that will role after he played the Mike in week one. So it's more of a what he'll be playing normally with Roquan. And I think we saw all of the things, all aspects of his game, whether it's, you know, pass rush, dropping a coverage, making the necessary tackle on a scramble, all looking good.
Yeah, he's a guy that, I mean, he deserves a number one spot. I think he's going to play a huge role for Baltimore this season. And if it all goes well, might not leave the field a ton for them this season.
There we go. All right, Kevin, always appreciate you coming on. Tell folks what you got going on at Locked On Ravens.
Yeah, appreciate you having me. You can find me over on Locked On Ravens. We're a 5-day a week Ravens podcast. So you can find us in audio form wherever you get your shows. Also in video form on YouTube. You're not missing out on any content if you prefer to watch or listen. It's the same both in audio and video. News analysis, updates, live game reactions after the fact. We do a lot of content over there. We're going to kick it up into gear, obviously, with a hopeful, exciting regular season on the way for Baltimore. And yeah, if you want more daily coverage alongside what Ken does, obviously, you can tune into Locked On Ravens.
Appreciate you, Kevin. Other folks out there, if you'd like to be on a film study short, hit me up. DMs are always open on Twitter. There will be a little time before the preseason starts to have a show on something you'd like to talk about the Ravens. So I do treat this a little bit like an open mic. If you've got a 15 or 20 minute topic, I want to hear it, and we'll talk about it a little bit and plan an episode. Usually narrow topic is better for that. Kevin, thanks again for coming on.
Always appreciate you, Ken. Thanks for having me.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.